So today we are, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, called by our church to reflect on the Word of God. And of course, the Word of God is Scripture, which we've just heard. This is the Word of God. But the Word of God is also Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh, and He is coming to us from this altar. And when He comes to you from this altar, He's approaching you and I like He did Lazarus in the tomb. He's saying, come forth, come alive, no longer be dead. The Word speaks to us. And see, when it speaks to us, it has power to affect what is spoken. This is my body. This is my blood. And I absolve you in the name of the Father and of the Son, and your sins are forgiven. That word affects what is being signified within it. That's the power of the word. However, it gets a little more complicated when we come to the reception of that word, because our freedom is in the process of assimilating that word, or perhaps hearing it and not accepting it. Now, we could talk about that and address that, but what I'd like to really talk about today is the way in which we today experience the world attempting to interject itself into our relationship with the Word. That's what I want to do. That's all I want to do today, is the way in which the world, in the sense of the Bible, as that world that doesn't know God, that world that is opposed to Christ, that world that wants to snuff out the light and silence the truth, that world which we are living in and that is ever present, wants to interject and introduce itself into your relationship to Christ. That's what I want to talk about today. And it does so in many different ways. Now, to begin, I'd like to start with another image of the word that we have that comes from Ephesians 6. We have Paul who speaks of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The word is there compared to a sword. It's very sharp, it cuts, and it cuts through crap, you might say. It makes clear the teaching of Christ. The world is very interested in dulling that blade to become a butter knife, so that it largely becomes ineffective, so domesticating Jesus that it becomes like a teddy bear that is completely in our control as to who He is, how He acts in our lives, and what He does with our lives. We're in control, not Him. And the world wants to, in a way, pull Jesus down and deny Him His sovereignty in our lives. He is not Lord anymore. You might say the world likes to introduce the word to us as though it's just one opinion among many others. So maybe, I don't know if you've had this experience, I have. I've been in conversation with people who are sometimes even atheists and don't believe in God at all, or one time they did. And I'll state the truth of the Catholic faith, and they'll say, yeah, but that's your opinion. All right, see, what they have just done is taken the word down to the level of an opinion among many others within the world of no more value or worth than any other opinion. See, that is what we call dulling the blade. That dulls the blade. It just makes it into a butter knife. Well, that's your opinion, and you're allowed to have that. Well, they're not actually saying that anymore. We're not allowed to have that opinion anymore. It's one among many, but we don't like that one, so just be quiet about that. Now, there's another sword in the New Testament, and I think we've all experienced this one as well. There is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the Holy Spirit of the Word in our spirit, helping to strengthen our weakness. But then there's the sword of Peter in the garden of on Holy Thursday night of Gethsemane. Peter wielded his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. Now, sometimes we're tempted to do that too. Maybe we get into arguments with people and out comes the sword of Peter. Whack! Well, that's a sword, but it's not the sword of the Spirit. That sword is emanating from the weakness of the human spirit, which is saddled by the flesh. And we start to become violent. And that's, well, I'll let Jesus speak for you, for himself. He looked at Peter in the garden. He said, "Peter, put that away." And then he healed Malchus's ear. Now, at this point, because we're not going to become violent, therefore, the world assesses us as being irrelevant, no power, you don't matter, you're just weak beta human beings. That's the world's assessment of that. But when you look at a cross, you see that the Word is unrelenting in maintaining the sharpness of its blade to the point where it goes to death. Jesus went all the way up Calvary without ever once pulling out the sword of Peter and threatening us with violence. That tells us something about the Word. It's not tyrannical. But that doesn't mean there's no power to it. It has power to affect what is spoken. That's its power. And another way the world will lead you to silence the truth and snuff out the life, the light in your life with the Word of God is as soon as you manifest the blade of the sword of the Spirit, they say, "Aha, Peter's sword, you're going to cut me. You're going to attack me with violence." That's what they'll say. And then they, well, gosh, I don't want to, no. And then we start putting it away. We put the Word away. Because the world will look at us and say, "Oh, you manifested a blade of a sword there. You're going to pull Peter's sword on me, aren't you? And you're going to get violent with me now." That's what it says. And it wants you to put it away. Let me just make you a little uncomfortable, okay? If that's all right, just give me that permission. It is a Catholic church, after all. I'm a Catholic priest. This is a Catholic pulpit. This is the Catholic Word of God. If I can't speak and manifest the blade of the sword of the Spirit here, where can I? I mean, where is that possible? Where in God's green earth could it happen if it can't happen here? Let me just manifest the blade a little bit. There are only two genders, male and female, according to the Word of God. God created them. Male and female, He created them. Two genders. That's it. God created a suitable partner for Adam named Eve, not Steve. Because God couldn't say to Adam and Steve, "Be fruitful and multiply." Because Adam and Steve are sterile. The human race would have ended if God had created a suitable partner for Adam named Steve. I'm bearing the blade. Have I yet gone into Peter's sword? No. Does that mean I'm going to compromise and start to sheathe the sword of the Spirit? Well, that's what the world wants us to do. Let me manifest the blade once again. It's quite all right to enter the bridal chamber outside of marriage. Hey,
No problem. In fact, the sooner you begin, the better. Let's get our second and third graders into sex ed so we can teach them how to do this. It's all right. The sword of the Spirit calls that fornication and says fornicators will not enter the kingdom. All right, I've just borne the sharp blade of the sword of the Spirit. That the world wants to dull into a butter knife so that you will be then, yes, ineffectual, sidelined, out of the picture, and basically drifting with the rest of them. But Jesus Christ was unrelenting in being that sharp sword of the Spirit to the point where he even suffered death instead of denying the truth that he represented. And that's how he is, and that's how he will be, because another thing the Word of God tells us is this whole world will pass away, but my word will not pass away, because at the end, when everything's gone, the only thing standing is going to be the word of God. It's going to outlast all the opinions the world wants to say you and I have to keep. And that's not true. That's not true. And this is why it takes a different kind of strength to wield the sword of the Spirit than the kind of strength Peter manifested by pulling out his sword and becoming violent with it. That's not the sword of the Spirit. That is the sword of the human spirit saddled by the flesh, if you're going to start to become violent and intimidating, tyrannical, because the word isn't like that. It persuades. It's unrelenting in speaking. And we're asked to represent that word in the world that wants to dull the word and make it ineffectual, sidelined. It wants the salt of your life to become tasteless. And as Jesus says, it becomes useless then. We have to resist this. And the only way we can resist this is with the help of Christ, who stayed the course of the truth all the way to the point of shedding his blood. That's strength provided for us by God. This is how we bear up without going to the sword of Peter and becoming violent, but also without allowing that word to become dulled by the world into a butter life where Jesus becomes domesticated into a teddy bear, and we can just cuddle with him, and he's what we make him to be rather than who he really is. The world wants everyone to have their voice on earth except Christ. Don't listen to that one. We've got to permit Jesus to have his voice in our lives. Listen to him. He's not going to incite you to violence. He told Peter, put that away. What have you to be afraid of? Well, I might get into trouble. Welcome to the Catholic life. Welcome to the Catholic life. It doesn't mean necessarily you'll be jailed. Maybe it will. I mean, things have heated up so much since Roe versus Wade was overturned in this country. Do you realize that in this diocese, there is a ministry begun by the bishop called the Guardians? In case someone wants to come in here and start shooting. Can you believe that? That's where we've come. I mean, the world is now beginning to wield Peter's sword against us. And anytime you manifest the sword of the Spirit, they say, put that away, that's Peter's sword. And you got to say, oh no, this is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and what you're doing is not acceptable. what you're doing is not acceptable. Because we risk becoming overrun by the world, dulled, and salt that goes flat. And the light becomes snuffed out, and then we're good for nothing in terms of the kingdom. So brothers and sisters, yeah, this is very demanding stuff. It is. The Catholic life can be very demanding for those who attempt to receive the Word of God. Let Jesus have his voice in your life. Listen to that voice and then respond to it. Let Jesus have his voice. Let him speak for himself instead of letting it be filtered through the world, which dulls the blade. No, let Jesus speak for himself. Listen to him. It is a word that will lead you into all truth and the freedom that comes with it.